Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. We have got madness on our minds. Why? Well, college basketball is the month of March. You put two and two together, and that is what we've got already here. 40 games on the slate here today. We're about a quarter of the games already in the books. We got a couple of games at the break. Iowa, Ohio State knotted up at 37 apiece. In the Big Ten battle there, Ohio State was about a five and a half point favorite when that game started, but all locked up at 37. Ryder in Quinnipiac. Ryder's got some work to do, down 43-27 at the break. And Norfolk State, 38-26 over Maryland Eastern Shores. And if you're going, where in the world is Maryland Eastern Shores? I have got a guy that knows exactly where all of these small schools are. It's Colby Dant in the house, ready to go here with the madness, Colby. And we've already had plenty of madness so far today. We saw some outright dog winners here. Dogs have been covering. And we got a interesting one there with Ohio State and Iowa, right? Nobody thought Ohio State should be laying 5.5. Listen, if Iowa's hitting shots, they're tough to beat. Can they pull this thing out and win outright as a dog?
Oh, I love it. I mean, look, you got a coach that's, you know, I think is going to be leaning into retirement, much like when we just saw LaSalle cash with Fran Dunphy. You know, the players get up for it. They know the moment. They know the coaching history there. So I love that angle. And I truly thought it was a coaching advantage, too, when you have a guy that's been to so many Big Ten tournaments compared to someone in his first Big Ten tournament as the head coach. So I love taking Iowa there. And then, you know, to go back to your original point, Maryland Eastern Shores and Princess Anne, Maryland, the great Art Shell is a graduate of Maryland Eastern Shore.
Nice. I love that. See, I told you, no more useless information than you will find right here on Game Time Decisions. All right, let's dive into some of these games coming up here tonight. And let's go right now. It just tipped off, I believe. Kansas State was getting six against Baylor, the Bears there in the Big 12. Baylor away from home has been scary all year. I don't trust them on a neutral site. Kansas State didn't cover last night, but they still won by five. And I think they'll stay within this number, if not win outright here as well, Colby.
I completely agree. You look at Kansas State, they went out and spent a bunch of money on that roster. It hasn't worked out, but they've had injuries. And where did Jerome Tang, where was he at for 20 years before Kansas State? Oh, he was on Scott Drew's staff at Baylor. So he's played Scott Drew incredibly well. And the team's healthier, you know, getting Coleman Hawkins back was huge. I took the points. I think the money line is live here completely. Baylor's been all over the place this year. They talk about a team that's been dinged up and you don't even know about the continuity. Like they've had so many different starting fives or, you know, seven, eight man rotations that you're just like, The chemistry has to be an issue if you're taking Baylor, to me. So I'm all over K-State here. They'll also have the crowd. We don't even talk about that.
Yeah,
that crowd will be, you know, pro Kansas State, pro Iowa State. So give me the Wildcats and the points there.
Yeah, I tell you, another game just underway that I could not. I don't trust Mississippi State to lay 9.5 points against anybody at this point in the season. And yet LSU, here they are playing with house money. Felt like, give me the points and the dog in that one as well.
I've been a huge Chris Jans fan for a long time, but one thing I don't do is lay a gigantic number with Chris Jans teams. They're just not good in those spots. LSU. Now, LSU hasn't been good this year, but they announced that Matt McMahon's coming back next year. Less pressure to deliver, and I think that's a good thing. Sometimes your team plays loose. You play with house money, as you alluded to. I thought that number's a little off. I took LSU in the points as well.
Yeah, that's interesting. But if we're not trusting Mississippi State laying that kind of number, are we trusting Kansas to lay 10.5 points against UCF here tonight? The total's has been getting love here. Looks like we're up to 155 here, but listen, if Kansas wins, they could very well win by 20. Do we trust them to do so?
I know they beat them by like 40 or 50 at one point in December, but the game in the fog, that was a much more recent game. UCF almost won that thing outright. I like the fact you got a game to play in. I know the crowd will be a Kansas crowd, but still, I just can't. This Kansas team seems to be all over the place. You got Bill Self writing love letters to the fans, saying, "I hope you stick around." You got just, to me, the Hunter Dickinson angle. You know, they whiffed in the portal to me on some of the guys they thought were going to be big difference makers. I'll take the points. I do think Kansas wins this game, but UCF has some talent on that roster. I think they can give them a game. So I'll take, what is it, 10.5, 11 right now. Give me the Golden Knights plus the points there.
Yeah, it's tough to lay that with a Kansas team. Who, listen, the good news for them is they get to start the slate clean here and see if they can't make a run at it. What about, and this was an interesting one too coming up, we talked, you and I, just off air, Syracuse and SMU, 8.5, 9 is what we're seeing here. If the offense in the first half shows up that showed up last night against FSU, I think Syracuse can win this game outright. Can they sustain it? Because it looked like they ran out of gas last night against Florida State, which would concern me, them having to play from behind. How about you?
Yeah, but I just don't believe SMU is a good basketball team. Their record lies to you. They've beaten no one with the pulse, really. Now, I guess the argument against that is the Syracuse have a pulse. They haven't all year, but Eddie Lampkin's a veteran. He's been in college, I feel like, for 10 years. Getting JJ Starling back was huge. You know, he was out for 5-6 games there. I like taking the Orange Men in the points. And I think, you know, I know I'm saying every dog right now, but I just think of these spots, these select games we've gone with, these dogs are the play. It wouldn't shock me if Syracuse won the game outright. They just played recently in Dallas and it was like a 2-point game or 3-point game or something. So give me the Orange to stay in this.
Well, I get the Orange to keep in it there at 8.5 and 9 points. What about, who doesn't think of, Big Ten basketball when we've got, USC and Rutgers playing tonight, but we do. And we've got USC as a slight favorite. This is when we're supposed to trust in Eric Musselman, right? But he's not played, his team hasn't played any defense. Rutgers won't play any defense. Why are we not just playing the over in this game?
Yeah, no, we are now we're really talking here, because I don't even understand how USC's favored. What, they've won 2 of the last 10 games. I think Rutgers has been the better team of late. They have the more NBA talent. Why is USC favored? It's alarming to me. I don't even want any action on that. I think you're right with the total. I think the total is the smartest play on the board with Rutgers. Steve Peichel team is normally great defensively. They're not nearly as good this year with all those freshmen. I'm with you. Over 153? What'd you say it was?
Yes.
152?
Yeah, 152 and a half, 153. I think that's the easiest play on the board here tonight. Expect zero defense and a whole lot of points. And I think that's the way to look at that one. And right now, were you leading Stanford or Cal before that game tipped off?
I'm all over Cal, man. And just like the Grambling play earlier today, rivalry game, take the points.
You heard it. That's it. Game Time Decisions will be back. Colby, we appreciate it, brother.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network, as we'll keep an eye on the college hoops games for you. We do have plenty coming up in the NBA. What a great slate of games, in fact, here tonight. Getting ready to start at the bottom of this hour. And who better to talk to than our good friend, Mr. Adam Kaufman, ready to go here tonight. And we got a couple of good ones that are slated both early and late. And of course, your Celtics are involved in the early must watch as they're going to be at home taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Adam, so let's start there. Tatum in. Both these teams do have some injury concerns at this point in the season, so let's not kid one another. This is not, both of these teams aren't 100%. But three and a half is what we're seeing here with Tatum in. What are we thinking we're going to get from the Celtics tonight?
Well, you know, everyone wants to make a big deal out of this game, nationally televised, all that, call it a potential NBA Finals preview, certainly the chalk if that winds up coming to fruition in a few months. It's not quite that, because like you said, there are the injuries. The Celtics are not at full strength. Kristaps Porzingis has been missing time with this whatever viral infection that he has been dealing with. Nobody quite knows, but, you know, Tatum, Brown, these guys, you know, they've been in and out of the lineup of late. Jrue Holiday as well. Everyone in terms of, you know, most of the main guys on that side are going to be available, which is partially why you see the Celtics as a narrow favorite. It actually opened a little heavier, has moved inside three at 2.5 right now. Another part of that is that it's in Boston. But the third, maybe most important part of that is that the Thunder don't have Jalen Williams. Now, I'm talking about, of course, the forward Jalen Williams, the small forward, not the gigantic Jalen Williams. It gets confusing when you have two guys by the same name, though they spell the Jalens differently, so at least we'll give them that much. Jalen Williams is a consistent scoring threat. Is he the MVP? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he is not. And SGA, I feel like you have to look at his props. You have to consider, if there's no Williams to help him out with the scoring load tonight, where is that secondary scoring? And there are a few different guys that might be able to chip in, you know, 10, 12 points, that type of thing. You know, are we going to see something out of Holmgren, for instance? But SGA is going to be the focal point in this offense, assuming that the Thunder are taking this game seriously, and I suspect they are. So, you know, it's a big number. I get it when you're looking at 33.5 points for SGA. I just don't think it's high enough. In fact, I would consider, you know, if we go down the little narrative street of stars will be stars on the biggest nights against the biggest competition in these litmus test games, Joe, I'd ladder up SGA. I'd ladder up Jason Tatum. I'd consider putting those two together, as a matter of fact, in a parlay. If you do SGA up to 40 points and Tatum up to only 30 points, just going a little bit over on both these guys, you're getting that at basically or pretty close to 5-1 on that parlay. So, you know, really it comes down to, I think SGA gets there. I'd be shocked if he doesn't have 35 and at least clears his number. But for Tatum, how much of a distributor is he with Brown, with White, with Holiday even, with Pritchard off the bench versus getting into kind of takeover mode, which we do see from time to time?
Yeah, and you're right. I think there's a lot of ways to correlate this game here tonight, the prop betting market, sides, and totals. And again, it could very well be, Adam, a preview into what we're going to get in the finals again for the NBA in a couple of months. So that's a good one. The late game, Minnesota and Denver, was the other kind of game that a lot of folks are going to be very interested in seeing here. Denver at home. Minnesota, I don't believe Gobert is in this game, but does it really matter if a tree falls and nobody's there to see it? does it really matter here? But Denver, light number here at home. Are we getting points? Are we looking at an under? What are we doing in this one?
Yeah, just looking at exactly where the number is right now. So it's actually really hasn't moved off of the open too much. Mm. It was Denver -3 at open, and we still see some threes out there. There are 2.5s. I would be inclined to back the Nuggets. They're mostly healthy. Certainly their key guys, those being Jokic and Murray first and foremost. And then you start to get into some of the complementary pieces. I know Aaron Gordon, obviously, missing some time, and Porter's, you know, there's a little inconsistency there. You do get consistent scoring out of Brown, who's a guy that I just feel like nobody talks about, which is kind of wild because that dude is a, you know, 10 to 15 point guy literally every single game. But again, it's the stars, right? It's Jokic on one side and Murray and Anthony Edwards on the other side. And Edwards has, betting Edwards recently has been a little frustrating because Julius Randle, of course, is back in the lineup and looks terrific since whatever it is in terms of a personal issue that caused him to miss time that he was dealing with. And that's taken some volume away from Edwards, obviously. He's not seeing quite the same in terms of shot opportunities. Maybe shot selection is a little bit better. Certainly a guy that I would always consider looking at when it comes to going over on his three-point prop. But, you know, does he get to 27, 28, 29 points? I'm not so sure. I'm not too confident in that. Joker on the other side, this is just a dude that I realize we're losing a lot of value in the number, but how do you not just bet this guy to have a triple-double every single night at this point in time? Blind bet it. I'm not talking, you know, full unit necessarily if you want to be more conservative. Triple-doubles are supposed to be hard still, but not when you're the freak of nature that Nikola Jokic is, you know, putting in his MVP candidacy anyway against SGA there. So I think Jokic has a big game. I do think he has a triple-double. I think the Nuggets win. I think they clear this number. And I think Edwards puts up a fight if I'm looking at props, but I just don't necessarily think I go over on his points. I think he's going to, you know, there's going to be a decent amount of distributing as well. So maybe it's points plus assists, something like that.
I don't hate that at all here. I think, again, that's another one of those spots where a couple of different ways you can approach the game from a side total and prop betting market. We did have one game that flipped from a dog to a favorite, and that was the Miami Heat as they get ready to take on the Clippers on the second of a back-to-back. I'm always a little weary of when we get those, oh, the market flips it because Kawhi Leonard's not playing. That worries me a little bit here, but the totals also dropped. We'll talk about a few more of these games on the card here, see if we can't find any sort of value, but that is certainly one game we're going to keep an eye on as Game Time Decisions continues next year on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Joe Ranieri joined again by our good friend Adam Kaufman here as we're taking a look at this nine-game NBA slate, getting ready to take center stage. First games in about 10 minutes or so with Oklahoma City and Boston, as well as Charlotte and Atlanta and Philadelphia and Toronto. Philly, no Maxey, no Embiid, no, I don't know what kind of G League team they're rolling out here lately. But let's go back to that Miami game because the Clippers, second of a back-to-back, no Kawhi Leonard, no Norm Powell still. They opened up a 1.5-point favorite on this, and then that thing flips over, which I'm always a little wearisome. The total at 206.5 is also interesting here. Miami is healthier than the Clippers here, but do we trust Miami, who can't seem to hold on to a fourth-quarter lead these days? Do we trust them as a favorite here?
I don't trust either of these teams at all. Yeah. You know, I don't trust the Clippers when they are healthy. And right now, as you noted, they're not, with no Kawhi Leonard and the fact that it's a back-to-back. Look, if I don't want to bet this game. If I were to bet this game, I would bet Miami for two reasons. Home and the Clippers back-to-back, obviously. That factor, you know, does mean something to me when Miami's just sort of sitting back and waiting a little bit, doesn't have to deal with any sort of travels. So, you know, I would look to the Heat in this spot. You have, obviously, Hero. You have Andrew Wiggins back in the lineup. You have Bam. Even Ware is, you know, can be a factor. So I think there's enough depth there on that side to justify, you know, probably not bothering with the number. I know it's a narrow spread. If I was going to play it, I'd probably just eat the juice and take the money line with Miami. But I don't really want to bet this one because it would not take much for it to go sideways. You know, Harden ends up, you know, with no Kawhi Leonard going for 35 points and you know, dishes out 10 assists and Zubats has a double-double. Like, it happens that fast, man. So, again, I'd look Miami, but I don't love it.
I agree. It would be Miami or pass for me in that game there. And then you got Houston and Phoenix, interestingly enough. Van Fleet looks like he's playing in this game for Houston. 40-25 on the year. And the Suns, they're just a absolute mess. Fourth game of a road trip, I believe, here for Phoenix. What do we do here? Laying 5, it looks like now, huh?
So it's 4.5. So, I mean, essentially 5, obviously, if you're looking to cover the number, not as advantageous if you're on the Phoenix side and you want to take the points because you'd have to buy your way to 5. But look, it is interesting. Like you said, long trip. This is the final game and tough games, right? Like they had to rally to take Denver to overtime on the shoulders of Durant, and it was a great game, but lost to the Nuggets. And, you know, most recently you had the Grizzlies, a narrow 2-point loss, sandwiched in between, beat the Mavericks, but who doesn't right now? So that doesn't say a whole lot. This Phoenix team, I realize a lot of people want to look at it and say, kind of coming apart at the seams. You look at the injury report tonight. Sure, there's no Amen Thompson, obviously, for Houston, and that is significant. But for Phoenix, you're down some role players. There's no Grayson Allen. There's no Nick Richards. But you have your most important guys in Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. And that, for me, believe it or not, is enough to not only want to take the Suns' side, I'd even consider sprinkling the money line in what could be a little bit of a surprise spot here for Phoenix, because the biggest thing that I am seeing, even in those losses, again, 2-point loss to Memphis and the overtime loss to Denver when they were down, you know, 20 points or whatever, was very easily could have packed it in to start off that road trip and did not. We all want to talk about how Kevin Durant, in, you know, whatever the percentage, in all likelihood, is playing somewhere else next year. And usually when he gets to around this point of the season, when he's already decided he's going to move on, we do start to see him kind of as... This isn't that, you know, he takes nights off, that kind of thing. Yeah. Durant is playing like a motivated dude who wants to silence his critics and show there's still something left in the tank there, and quite a bit at that, at his advanced basketball age, you might say. He and Booker are still a 1-2 punch, and as long as they are motivated, which, again, I expect Booker to be, but so long as Durant is motivated, which he continues to be, this Suns team is a threat to do something. Not in the playoffs, they're not going to win the title, but night to night. So I like an upset here tonight for Phoenix.
Oh, like calling it there. Grab the points. Why, you can sprinkle a little something on the money line. So real quick on the way out, Adam, Knicks get it done tonight against Portland, or Portland and hold serve?
No, I think the Knicks get it done. I know that, you know, no Jalen Brunson's a big difference, but you have Kat, you have the other pieces. McBride should be great, and Portland stinks.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network as we keep an eye on the college basketball games underway. And we got some really good ones happening right now. We also have, well, coming off of a Bay Hill Invitational, which proved to be unbelievable at the end there. And we're getting ready for the Players Championship. In fact, the other major they never consider a major, and here to point us in the right direction, of course, our good friend Brady Cannon. As Brady, good old Russell Henley couldn't get it done for us at PGA National there at the Cognizant, but, well, nothing an eagle on, what, 16 at Bay Hill won't handle. And once again, Colin Morikawa left standing on the 18th green going, what else do I have to do to win a tournament these days? Kind of unbelievable, Brady.
You know, that is three runner-up finishes going back to last August, and you got to hand it to the guy. I mean, obviously, he's playing extremely well. I think you could argue that he's playing the second-best golf in the world right now. Maybe he's playing the best golf because Scotty has been off a little bit. Now, we know Scotty's still the best player in the world, but Colin, a runner-up to Matsuyama at the Century in Kapalua to kick off the year, a runner-up at the tournament, at the Tour Championship at East Lake Golf Club last August, and then obviously a runner-up here last week at Bay Hill. And I went right back to him, Joe. I thought, you know, it reminded me a little bit of how I treated the PGA Championship last year when Xander Schauffele absolutely got stomped by Rory McIlroy at Quail Hollow the week before. And everybody was like, oh my gosh, this guy can't finish. He can't close the deal. And I said, you know what? When everybody's saying he can't, I'm going to say he can. And he did win the PGA Championship. There was actually not a lot of anti-sentiment for Morikawa this week. There was actually continued love for Morikawa. I've seen him below 10-1 at some very sharp books. So I'm not alone in thinking this guy's going to be right back where he started here. And I think he's going to be in the mix once again.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very unique place, TPC Sawgrass, maybe some of the best. I don't know that those finishing couple of holes are just over the top. The 18th over the top. But of course, we all know about the Island Green there, the par three. Nothing like watching this tournament on a Sunday, Brady, and watching these guys down the stretch. But is it the same old again? You're not going to back off Morikawa, but how far down the odds board do you go for this tournament?
I think you go as deep as you want, Joe. And that is really the beauty of this golf course. You talk about the finishing stretch, 16, 17, and 18 are just absolutely fantastic. The whole golf course is really a masterpiece. I mean, Pete Dye is the story here. He's put together a golf course that there's not necessarily one type of player that wins it every week or every year. It's not a star player that wins it every year. It's not a bomber that wins. I mean, you've got Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson and Sergio Garcia, and you've got Matt Kuchar and Fred Funk and Craig Perks and, you know, Stephen A. I mean, it is all over the map on who wins this thing. And you look at everybody's track record. Ricky Fowler has won here before. He's also missed the cut a handful of times. Mm-hmm. Everybody's resume at this place is all over the board. It's very, very random. Now, I think the one thing we can count on is ball striking. That's the theme of the Florida swing. You got to be really good off the tee. You got to be really good with the irons, and you hope to hold a few putts. And that's pretty much the theme I went with. And that's Morikawa, you know, accurate as heck off the tee, a brilliant iron player. And you know, he can scramble like crazy, and he just couldn't make a putt last week. So let's hope he can make a putt this week. But, you know, because you have such randomness on these leaderboards, I took three guys that were 100-1 or better. I took four guys, you know, at Morikawa at 14. I took Sepp Straka at 42. Oh, yeah. I took Aaron Rye at 50. And I took Daniel Berger, our guy from Florida State. I think he's ready to break through. He's finished top 10 here before twice. I took him at 55. And then I took three long bombs. I took JT Poston at 100, JJ Spahn at 110. And Joel Damon at 150-1. And I'm telling you, I think all three of those guys are live dogs. Are they going to win it? Maybe. But I think they'll finish top 20, and I bet them to do that as well.
Yeah, I kind of like the way you're looking at that here. As you can go up and down this board, and you can get as creative as you want. But we all keep waiting for you-know-who to show up in these tournaments here where he still looks like he hasn't put it all together just yet, but it still feels like rinse and repeat, Scottie Scheffler top 10. I mean, it is what it is, right, Brady? But at some point, he's going to figure it and put it all together, isn't he?
He is, but I don't think he's going to win this thing three times in a row. He's the only guy ever to win it back to back. You know, there's only a handful of guys that have ever won it twice, let alone back to back. So I don't think he's going to go three times in a row. And we're starting to see his price drift. Finally, he's up better than 5-1 at a couple of shops out here in Las Vegas. I've even seen better than 6-1 in faraway places. You know he's going to be ready in a month when we roll down Magnolia Lane and ready to defend his title at Augusta. But it kind of feels like it's going to take him a few more laps before he is rounded into perfect shape. I don't think it's going to happen this week. It's interesting to note, Scottie Scheffler, when he was defending his title last year, he was the first defending champion to finish inside the top 15 at the Players since Adam Scott won it way back in 2000, whatever, you know. So the point is, defending champs typically don't rinse and repeat, like you say.
Yep. Yeah, they don't. And it's, especially on this course, it's a little more difficult here for sure. But it would be great if Colin Morikawa can pull it down. But what are we also thinking about some of the guys that we've seen in the back when we've seen, I saw Jordan Spieth play here at the Cognizant, and he looked like he had finally figured some things out. We just watched Jason Day become a player in last week too. I mean, so some guys that you feel like maybe they're just a round or two to break through, feels like there's a lot of great value in the top 10, top 20 board here this week with some of these guys.
Yeah, you know, I think you're really probably better. I mean, the outrights are for fun, right? I mean, it's a needle in a haystack. It's my lowest amount of risk. You know, a couple bucks here, a couple bucks there. You hope to hit one. But yeah, I think you really want to focus on the top 10s and the top 20s and maybe even some top 30 and top 40 markets because this tournament is so random and so volatile. You're probably better off heading that direction this week than just really trying to stick an outright. You know, you might get lucky. It takes a little luck. These things happen. But, you know, you mentioned Jordan Spieth. He doesn't have a great track record here. But like I say, course history, you can throw it out the window. It doesn't mean that much. Guys win here. Guys miss cuts. It doesn't matter that much. But there's a connection between Pete Dye Designs, and probably one of the strongest ones is Harbortown, where they play the RBC Heritage the week after the Masters. You see a lot of crossover winners there. Matt Kuchar, Webb Simpson, they both won here at Sawgrass. Well, Jordan Spieth has won at Harbortown too. So, you know, he's got that in his bag, and I'd love to see him pull it off, Joe. I mean, we haven't seen that guy get to the winner's circle in a while, and when Jordan Spieth is winning golf tournaments, I think the game is better.
We are absolutely not betting Cantley, right? We're absolutely No Cantley. Unbelievable. No. And I think Xander's still a couple of weeks away, right?
I agree. Now, his price has gotten to the point where it's like, geez, you know, 30-1, do I want to take a stab? But I'm with you. I don't think he's ready. He's focused on the Masters too. I think he knows he's not ready yet. And I think we saw that last week.
I agree. And I think that's what this is, all a tune up right there for the first major. So a lot going on in the world of golf here, Brady. It's getting good as we work our way to Augusta, my friend. We'll talk to you again on Friday as Game Time Decisions. Well, we'll be back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Joe Ranieri, I am joined by the man now that'll take over at the top of the hour for a little in-game live. He'll cover all of the games here tonight across all the sports, as we've got plenty still to be decided in college basketball. And we got 9 games here, a couple underway in the association. And Scotty, let's start with the game. A lot of folks are very interested in seeing maybe a preview of the NBA Finals with the Oklahoma City Thunder in Boston taking on the champs, the Celtics. This thing closed 3.5, 4. How were you approaching it?
Yeah, you know, I got burned last, 2 weeks ago when the Celtics hosted Cleveland in a similar spot, you know, close to pick them at home. And you think, okay, you know, you got to give me the Celtics at home. So I didn't do that. I went with the over, Joe. They just tipped off, you know, the same number literally like seconds ago. And I still think we're going to get a.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Well, hold on, Scotty. We'll get you there in just a second as we just have to unfreeze you. And I think you're going to be good to go. And it looks like you're good to go, Scotty. So glad I could help there and turn the heat up on you. So go ahead. Tell me what you're thinking here. Over, you said, though, right? 229
and a half? We're going over. Yeah. Okay. He's a monster over. 22-8 over. 11-4 on the road. We know the Celtics can put up a gazillion points. I think this has got one of those mano-a-mano things. Not whole much is really riding on this, right? Celtics are going to be the number two seed. OKC's going to be the number one seed. So no reason to really play defense. So let's go over 228.5 right now. It is on FanDuel.
All right, love that. All right, up and over there. Toronto and Philadelphia, another interesting game, but you got to try to figure out who's in and who's not for both these teams. I don't know who's playing and healthy. I mean, Maxey was already ruled out. We know Paul George is not there and Bede's not there. This just feels like a game based upon whoever's left and healthy on the bench for these teams. I would still give the advantage to Toronto, no?
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand this line. They just tipped off, and Philadelphia's out to an 8-2 lead. So now you can get Toronto plus 1.5, Joe. I tell you what, I really like that play because they've won 4 of 5. They've gotten themselves back into the Eastern Conference play-in race for that number 10 spot. They're right there, believe it or not, a few games back. Like I said, they're 4-1, their last 5. Philadelphia's just atrocious. 1-11 their last 12 road games, 8-23 against the spread, their last 31 overall, including 2-14 their last 16 games. I don't understand the Toronto thing being so low to begin with, and now you can really get them basically at pickup. So give me Toronto for sure at home.
Yeah, well, not a bad way to look there, Scotty, I think. Also tonight, although it looks like Utah finally has a whole bunch of people healthy, that could be playing in this game tonight for them. And they're taking on Memphis, who still has some injury concerns. No Santi Aldama, I believe. Jaren Jackson Jr. still out. So they've got some questions there. Should they be laying 12.5 in this spot?
Yeah, I don't think so. This is basically a trend play for me, right? But you do that every once in a while. And Utah just got fined by the NBA for sitting Lauri Markkanen when he was supposed to be playing the whole time. Like they're the only team that does that, right? They all want to lose. So maybe because of that, they've been warned. They do it again. They get fined $250,000. Now you're talking big bucks. So maybe we get an honest effort out of them tonight. They're getting 11.5, 12.5 at Memphis, Joe. But listen to these anti-Memphis numbers. How about 1-11-1 against the spread their last 13 games? How about Memphis 0-7 against the spread their last 7 at home? It's been a month and a year since they covered a home game. And then you may say, well, Utah stinks, and you're right, they do. But for whatever reason, they're 7-2 against the spread their last 9 against Memphis. And so, you know, it all does kind of point to Memphis. Then you throw in the fact they were fined today by the NBA for not trying to win games. I don't know if they win outright, but I do think they keep it within single digits. So I'm going to grab the 10, 11, 12 points, whatever you can get.
I agree with you. Far too healthy and too much firepower there for Utah now to be laying that kind of number. And we all know Memphis ain't going to play any defense. What about Denver and Minnesota, the late game tonight, getting a lot of buzz here? Seems like a small number, 2.5, 3 for Denver at home against the Timberwolves. What do you think we're going to get here?
Yeah, this is another strange line, right? Why is Denver so low? I got it down to 2.5 in some circles. I looked it up, you know, Murray and the Joker are playing. Aaron Gordon's not, but I would not bet Denver just because Aaron Gordon's not playing. Minnesota's playing well, 5-0. They won 5 straight, covered 4 of the 5 as well. But Denver's 10-1 at home. I'm getting them basically at pick'em here. I'll be kicking myself if they lose, saying, man, I knew this line stunk, but give me Denver laying the 2.5, 3.
Yeah, that's an interesting card here tonight for sure in the association. A couple of games are getting ready to come up in his conference tournaments tonight in college hoops, including Seton Hall and Villanova here. 126, 126.5 is a total. Nova's laying 10.5. Something's got to give in this game here, Scotty. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm going to go over, and I know that dangerous territory in a Seton Hall game, right? They barely, you know, some of the numbers, Joe, they lose every game by double digits. Literally every loss in the Big East, again, the threes come by double digits. They barely score 50, 60 points tops, but it's at Madison Square Garden. They're going to have a lot of fans there. Villanova's going to have a lot of fans there. It is 8-3 over their last 11 meetings, including 1-1 this year. They had a high-scoring game and then a super low-scoring game. You know what? It's the last game. I do like playing overs in these games just because the team that's going to lose, they knows their season is over in the case of Seton Hall. Villanova's probably going to get an NIT bid, but Seton Hall, that's done. So they're never going to quit. So you're going to get a bunch of fouling. Give me the over 126.5, and we'll get it late in the game.
Maybe the play of the night, Scotty. I don't know. How are we not playing an over here in this this USC-Rutgers game? Two teams that will play absolutely no defense in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, this again, but a lot of rat you-know-what lines today, right? Over 152. They played earlier this year, not that long ago, a couple of weeks ago at USC, 95-85, 180 points.
Wow.
This is almost a 30-point drop from, and that's that was a regulation game. I watched. I had USC. They blew it in the end. I'm going to bite. Give me the over 152.5.
Over 152.5 in this one here tonight. We also have plenty more games and updates coming up, but Scotty, we'll see you top of the hour for In-Game Live. We'll wrap it up here in Game Time Decisions next on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by as we've got, well, plenty going on the hardwood here, including some college basketball action at the break right now as Cal, we talked about that game, taking on Stanford. Who doesn't think the Atlantic Coast Conference when you think of Cal and Stanford? But right now, Stanford, a nice comeback there in the first half, 38-32 right now on top here of Cal. We also have Kansas State. Well, they got some work to do because they got absolutely blitzed by Baylor early in this game. 41-24 right now. Baylor on top at the break. And maybe the shock of the night here so far is Air Force as a 12.5-point dog is leading UNLV at the break 25-21. We had told you points we're going to be hard to come by there, and that they are right now, 25-21 in that game also at the break here. And we've got much more still to come here, and we've got you covered on In-Game Live as Scotty Wetzel and the crew will take over in just a couple of minutes. That will include a great night of NBA action with three games underway right now. The Oklahoma City Thunder on top of the Boston Celtics, 19-18. They got about 4.5 minutes ago in the first quarter there. Charlotte and Atlanta knotted up at 19 apiece. They're about the 4-minute mark left in the first quarter. And Toronto out in front of the Sixers, 9-8. Still 6.5 minutes to go there. Some of the other games looking forward to here tonight. With Minnesota and Denver in the 10 o'clock Eastern time hour, with Denver laying a short number, 2.5, 3 points against Minnesota. And then the New York Knicks will close it out in Portland tonight. Knicks had a nice win there on the road against Sacramento after losing Jalen Brunson for what appears to be a couple of weeks. But Portland has been feisty, make no mistake about it. They have been one of the best cover teams in the NBA over the last couple of months. And this is a spot where they're getting 4, 4.5 points from a Knicks team that is a little shorthanded. No Jalen Brunson. It was nice that they got that boost against Sacramento, but I don't know that I can trust them to win this game by margin, as Portland has proved. Well, they can hang with just about anybody in the NBA within the number, and them getting points at home is an interesting spot for sure. Also coming up a little bit later, the SEC tournament continues with Oklahoma taking on Georgia, and we are starting to see a little bit of line movement in that game there, as Georgia was right around the 4 mark. They were laying 4. This game is at the Bridgestone Arena in Nashville, so neutral site. They were the favorite over Oklahoma. We're starting to see a little more buyback for Oklahoma right now. So 3.5 is what we are getting in that one here. I do think Oklahoma is the right side here. I love what I have seen from Porter Moser and this Oklahoma team down the stretch. I think they've got better shooters, but Georgia is not going to roll over for anybody here. It does feel like maybe, just maybe, we're going to get some points in this game also. I don't mind an Oklahoma first half play in this one, because I do think that this is going to be a pretty good back and forth game where neither team is going to be able to pull away from one another, but it's ultimately going to come down to who I think can make some shots in the end. And I think Oklahoma has proven they are tough, and with wins in 3 of their last 4 games, clearly on the bubble. Don't forget, I mean, Georgia ended up beating Florida, 3 weeks ago here, bolstering their resume. Both these teams can be considered bubble watch, but something tells me Oklahoma needs this win a little bit more than what Georgia does. And we'll get a little USC and Rutgers coming up, where it just feels like the over is the way to look in this game, with two teams that have no interest in playing defense at all. The only problem is this game opened up, the total did, at right around the 153.5, 154 mark. And I'm seeing nothing but under money, down to 152.5. I don't buy it. I am still looking to back the over in this one with SC and Rutgers. That'll do it. Don't go anywhere. In-game live is coming up next. We'll see you again tomorrow here on Game Time Decisions.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda salutes those who've served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of Coda's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use Coda Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on Coda. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.